This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Love the weather. Mm. It's a great time of year.
It is. And anytime we get the little crisp fallness in the season change, it kind of brings you alive a little bit. It's like, you know, the first couple of times you get up in the fall and it's nice crisp in the morning. It's like, ah, that is so refreshing.
Well, and next week it'll be a little more refreshing than today.
That's true.
It's going to be a little bit refreshing, all right, because it's going to be next Monday. It's supposed to be in the 50s.
Are you serious?
Man. That's what they tell me. And 30-something at night. Oh. So it will get our attention.
Yeah. Yeah, it's time to turn the heat on, and then the first time you turn the heat on in the fall, it blows that dust off, and it has that weird smell to it. It's like, what is that? It's just the heater. Ugh.
Yeah, that's right. It's just the heater coming on.
Yeah.
And everybody needs to get their, if they've got a butane fireplace, they need to have the butane filled up.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, where you have a nice fire all winter.
Get everything stocked up and ready to go. Because before long, and I know we say it, but before long, it's going to be like cold, and then we'll all be kind of hunkered down, and that's kind of how that goes for the winter.
That's right. We have to get ready. And you know, now the squirrels at my place are burying their nuts in the ground. I've never seen that done before.
Really?
They're not taking them up in the trees. Well, they're actually burying the squirrels in the ground. Wonder why.
Well, that's different. I've never even heard of that before. Usually they grab them and take them up.
I've never seen a squirrel do it before. But my squirrels are actually burying it in the ground.
Huh.
Covering them up on the ground. So I don't know why.
I don't know. I wonder if that means like it's going to be like maybe a milder winter or...
That's what everybody's saying. It's going to be a milder winter.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah, they're not... They're not taking them up the trees.
Yeah, because they usually stash them away.
They do. Usually stash them real far away. And I know we used to take pecans and just pile them on the sidewalk for them. They'd come get them, you know, and take them up the trees.
Yeah.
But these seem to be putting them on the ground and just covering them up.
Well, that is weird. Are they digging like holes or are they just covering, do they have
they
like piles?
They just seem to be covering them up, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, they're gathering them, and we have walnuts, and they're just taking them and covering them up.
I've never even heard of such a thing before.
Well, you know, our squirrels are different, probably. It's a different brand. It's a different group, probably.
Yeah, yeah. It's just another weird ending to the weirdest year probably ever.
So. It is. It's the weirdest time of our lives.
Yeah.
You know, the election's coming up. That's November 3rd. And in Texas, 4 million people have already voted.
That is huge. That's never.
That's huge.
I don't. It seems like there's so much more participation, really, all over the place. But, you know, to have 4 million votes before voting election day, it just seems like that's never happened before. I don't ever remember numbers like that, ever.
Well, and, I'm thinking everybody should do early voting. I mean, it's easy. There's not any long lines. When I went to vote, there was 3 people in there to vote.
Really?
3.
Wow.
It was wonderful. I was in and out in about 10 minutes.
Wow. That's nice.
Yeah. There was no parking problem, you know, no nothing. Just go in and vote and come out.
Geez, you see all over the news every place about how people are standing these lines for like 6 and 7 hours, and they go around the block, and it's like, man, that just looks like a nightmare. You were just in and out.
Well, yeah, I was just in and out. And I've talked to my family. Everybody said, oh, I was there 5 minutes, you know.
Wow.
So I'm for early voting.
Clearly.
I mean, it's just easy, and this is the first time I've ever done it. I've always went on election day and voted.
Yeah.
But this time, I was afraid that, you know, it might be a long wait, and I didn't want to do that, and especially with this virus deal. And so I just put my little mask on and went down there and didn't take any time. Oh, and I had my little card. I've never had the card with me. All these years, I've had just given my driver's license. So I was so proud of myself. I had the little card, and I went in and handed them the card.
Really?
Said, we don't need that. We just need your driver's license.
What?
I said, I'll never save that thing again. They didn't even need it.
And you know, as soon as you throw it away or lose it, all of a sudden somebody's going to ask for your voter's card.
Yeah, next year they'll say, where is that card? You've got to have it. They'll tell me I can't even vote. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, boy. I don't even know where mine is.
You don't even know where it is? Well, that's the way it goes. I mean, you've got to get yourself together.
I was worried about having to find it, but I guess I don't need to worry about it now.
That's right. Don't even worry about it.
Well, now, is it because they know you, or is it because that's just
no,
what it is?
That's just what they said. I just said, oh, we don't need that. Oh, we need your driver's license.
Oh, boy.
And I go, well, I'll be doggone. I saved this thing all year, because every year I've lost it, every year.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, this year I'll put it in my desk. I'm not going to lose it. And I've saved it all year. And, boy, I got that thing out, put it in my billfold, went down there. No, we don't need that. Oh, my gosh. Oh, and the voting, let me tell you about where I voted. Everything is by hand. They don't have any electronics like used to. You know, everything was electronic. They give you a pen, and you have to blacken out that one little space.
Oh,
so
yeah.
The pens weren't very good, but you have got to stand there and blacken out each one that you want to vote for.
Yes, fill in the
little
circles.
That's how you do it. It's not a little; it's a little square, and you take your pen and fill in that little square with your pencil.
And you can't go outside the square.
No, you don't want to go outside the square, but you need to fill up that little square.
Yeah, it reminds me of taking like the SAT tests a long time ago, very long time ago.
I started to say, that is a long time ago. A long time ago. Oh, my gosh. Yes, but I found that different because I remembered in years past, they had this little dude, you just put your pen in. You remember that? You just put your little pen in and it registered it. It's kind of like a little hole. And you stuck your pencil or pen in that on each one you wanted to vote for.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Boy,
yeah.
I think I had that like once. It's been so long ago, I forgot.
And I don't even remember what they called it, but I remember you had to do it that way.
Yeah.
And each year they've had a different one, but usually they were mechanical, you know, the way you did it. But this was really old-fashioned out here.
Yeah.
I mean, you just had to take your pencil and color it in.
Well, it seems like the whole process is different everywhere. It's changed so much. So it almost seems like every time you go vote, the process is a little bit different. And then it varies, you know, from place to place, you know, from state to county.
Apparently it does. But it seems like they've gone back a long way in their thinking. You know, they're not upgrading it now. Now it seems like it's going back to the old-fashioned way.
Yeah. Huh.
So anyway, I thought that was pretty funny. And then you have to yourself slide it in this little machine, and then it says, okay, your vote is counted.
Yeah. Well, did you like it better? Was it a good process?
Well, it worked okay. It just took a little longer to take your pen and do every one of those.
Jeez. Wow.
Yeah. Because it's a page and a half.
Oh, yeah. It's long.
Yeah. And you can't do, used to, you could just say, I'm voting this way or that way. And you didn't have to go below and mark each thing. Now you have to mark each thing.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't just do a straight.
No, a straight ticket anymore. You have to go down through there and do all that.
Yeah, see, it's always different every year, and then they have the instructions up there, and then it's like, well, you got to do this and this and this, and it's like, well, geez, it was like, you know, it was either 2 or 4 years depending on when you voted last, you know, and then you think, well, was it that way before? And then it's like, well, it doesn't really matter. That's how it is this way. So this is
that's right. You have to change every time and do. And I think maybe every county is different the way they vote, what you vote on. I wonder if everybody uses the same formula and if everybody has to fill in the little square this year, or if some of them are different. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, because it seems like when I talk to other people who have voted, they're like, well, it's a little bit different than that, you know, where we are. And, you know, I talk to people all over the place. And so even, you know, county by county and state by state and regions, it seems like it's not a standard process wherever you go.
That's how you do it, huh?
Yeah. It seems a little bit different. I don't know if that's good or bad.
Well, I think if this is in a big city, this would take a long time. You know, doing it by hand and doing this. But in small towns, apparently it's going to work.
Yeah. Well, you just strolled right in and strolled right out. So that was pretty
smooth.
Yeah,
it was a great deal. I mean, I wasn't in there 10 minutes. I've already voted. I'm through. I'm thankful. And all these people that are going to vote on Election Day, I feel for them, because it will take a long time.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the thing on the news about how, you know, people are spending, you know, 7-8 hours standing in line, and the lines go on for miles, and it's around the block, and it's just like, goodness gracious.
Yeah, and everybody with masks on, can you imagine?
Yeah.
And you've got to stand 6 foot apart.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it could be a long day on Election Day. They say we will not know who the next president is until January.
You know, and then you wonder what's going to happen between November and January, you know? Cause
that's right. What the heck is going to go on?
You know,
and there's so much going on anyway, we don't know what to think.
Exactly, exactly.
So it's going to be, the next 2 weeks will be very interesting, I think.
It will be. And I wonder if more people, because some places aren't starting to count ballots until Election Day itself. So anything that, like, gets done early is just kind of like sitting there waiting until week and a half or so before they even start counting them. And so then you wonder, well, you know, how far does that push things back? And then what's going to happen between November and January, you know, as far as market uncertainty? And that's kind of what we are all about anyway, is money. And this is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is
877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
I'm going to get that in real quick, because I do have a question. What kind of...
Okay, what's your question?
What's the uncertainty? You know, as people always say, you know, geez, you know, and I'm starting to see indications that, you know, the closer you get to Election Day, typically people are uncertain. You know, things kind of tend to get a little weird a few weeks before Election Day. But if we don't know the results until, you know, a couple more months, what does that do to markets and financial uncertainty? Are people, what are you hearing?
Well, I think a lot's going to depend on what happens in the next 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know people are worried. You know, I've seen the market, you know, every day going up and then down. I've seen it drop quite a bit. So, I mean, I think everybody's saying, you know, the uncertainty right now, do they stay or go in the market? You know, and it's going to depend who becomes president.
Yeah,
I think that's what everybody's really worried about. Is, you know, are we going to go backwards? Are we going to become like Venezuela?
Mm-hmm.
You know, are we going to go on like we are and get the market back up, get everything going again, get over this pandemic? And just keep going like we've always gone, and make money, and do things like Americans should be doing.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I know people are worried which way we're going. Are we going to go backwards, or are we going to go forward?
Yeah. Well.
And that's going to depend on what the market does. It's going to depend who gets in.
Because we're in that space right now where people aren't really sure. I hear reports about how we're in that prime phase where people are going to spend less money. There's going to be less risks that are being taken because things are so uncertain and so unpredictable right now. And so, if this is a phase where people are kind of essentially financially hunkering down. And then that lasts for, an extra, two and a half months, say. What does that do to overall spending? What does that do to market? Are people going to panic? Are they going to, go on like this and just assume this is the new normal for a while? Or, you have to wonder, what is this going to, what kind of a financial effect will the uncertainty, have?
I think the uncertainty is having an effect right now because people, some are getting out of the stock market, some are cautious. They don't know what's going to happen. And, anytime you've got two different parties running, I mean, it's completely opposites what they want to do for our country. You know, whether we're going to be taxed to death or whether we're going to have less taxes, and that's going to affect the market.
Oh, yeah.
The taxes is a big deal in our country. It's going to affect whether we've got more jobs coming. We've been getting more jobs every month again, but there's still a lot of people unemployed. We know that. So it's going to depend whether we have a rosy future, which I'm hoping and praying for, or are we going to have a future where everything's going to go backward, and the taxes that we've gotten lowered, are they going to come back higher again?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so that is an uncertainty in our market right now. Nobody knows for sure what's going to happen. So are people taking precaution? Out here in Midland, some of the big companies are selling to each other. Pioneer is buying their sister company, which the son owns, which is Parsley, for $3 or $4 billion.
Wow, that's huge.
So that's a big deal. Some of the other oil companies are merging. So right now, especially in the oil business, companies are merging together. Baker Taylor has lost $170 million this last quarter.
Wow. It's unprecedented.
Yeah, it is. And so, it depends what business you're in. And how much you've got in the market, if you're in the oil business, you've got probably a lot of market at risk. If you're a consumer and someone is buying you stocks, what are they putting you in?
Mm-hmm.
Are they putting you in high risk? Are they putting in moderate? And I find all of it right now kind of risky because nobody knows what's going to happen. We don't have a guarantee on anything coming up.
Oh, that's for sure. I mean,
there's no guarantees on this deal. And I would not want to be in the stock market.
Mm-mm.
And somebody brought up 1976 yesterday.
Really?
And, oh, yeah, back when we had such a bad, bad crash, So, everybody's looking forward, but they're also looking back at what's happened in the past.
Yeah, it seems like, what's going on or what has really been going on, especially, in 2020, is that, there's really, even when you would normally pull historical data to kind of determine, okay, well, this kind of happened in the past, this is the trajectory we're on, this is kind of where we expect things to go. It seems like even the most basic formulas no longer apply because there is so many strange things that have happened and taken things off course. In ways that people never really, could see or could have ever predicted it. And so I don't even know if even the best forecasts can predict what might be happening over the next few months based on what else has happened, this past year. So I don't know that anybody's certain about anything right now.
I don't know how they could be. And it depends, how much risk you can stand. And what you want your future to look like, and whether we get a vaccine, that's another crisis that everybody's worried about. Will we get a vaccine before Christmas? Yeah. Or will it be next year when this vaccine comes out?
You're right, and that'll make a big difference. And so, you know, all these things that we're talking about are literally the kinds of things that can take somebody's portfolio from doing well, or at least okay in some cases. And absolutely, the bottom could fall out. And so there's no. You're right when you say that people, you know, can't be confident in really any aspect of investing. All these things affect people's portfolios and the market. But none of it, interestingly enough, affects a life settlement type of investment. It's completely separate from all this. It will not be affected no matter what happens, right?
That's right. And of course, Wall Street, they say, is quietly predicting a massive market event. They say they're very quietly, you know, saying this is going to happen.
Really?
And
When you say a market event, that doesn't sound like a good thing.
No, it doesn't, and that's what the power players are saying on Wall Street. They said they've already seen it coming, and they're quietly changing their outlook for 2021. It's going to affect your money.
Really? Well, why are they being so quiet about it? Is to not instill panic, or are they not sure?
That's exactly right. They don't want to tell you what they really think. You know,
oh,
they're saying, you know, but can you imagine all these oil companies, you know, buying each other out?
What does that mean for futures? I mean, do you see oil coming back?
You're not
going
to see as many companies, okay?
So there's less options. There's less. Do you see any kind of recovery with oil in the next year or so? Anything?
It's got to. It's got to. And of course, if we cannot frack and cannot do all that, then it's going to be a bad situation.
Yeah.
You know, if they say, "Oh no, you can't frack, you can't do this drilling, you can't do that," well, I mean, what else do we have? That's what we do out here.
Exactly, that's kind of essential.
It's big. I mean, you know, very, very big. But you know, city people don't know this. Have you ever thought about that?
Mm-mm.
City people think differently about oil, about gas, about drilling, because they haven't ever seen anybody drill a well in their life.
Yeah, that's true. They don't have any kind of firsthand knowledge.
No, they have no firsthand knowledge. They've never went out here and drilled a well. They don't realize what it does to the economy. What do they think we're going to do if we can't do fracking and can't drill for oil and gas? I guess they think we'll just get by on air.
Maybe they think it's magic. Magic is always fun.
I think they do. If they live in a city, they think everything comes to them is just all right there.
Yeah, it just comes,
you know,
in a
they
truck.
They don't think about cows giving milk.
Yeah.
And you remember they were mad about the cows not long ago. You remember that? Because cows make noise.
What? I don't know that I remember that. What? What?
Well, think about it. And they wanted to stop that, like they stop everything else, because they're not living in the real world. You know?
Was that a thing? Did I just miss something?
You obviously have been missing a lot.
Wow. I need to go outside once in a while, I think.
That's right. You've got to get out a little bit more,
yeah.
Okay? You've got to get out here and see what's happening in the real world. Go out on a farm or a ranch, you know?
Yeah, clearly.
Yes, I mean, that's what happens. That's what happens in New York and all these places. These people haven't ever seen a cow.
Yeah.
I don't think they've seen a chicken. You know, they think everything just comes from the grocery store.
Yeah. Yeah. Comes from aisle 4.
Yeah, I mean, they have no idea how this gets here.
Yeah.
But as you know, the airlines are suffering because people are not flying. And, you know, everybody's saying, are they going to fix that? Are they going to help them and bail them out? You know, years ago they bailed out an airline. So I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, there's a lot of things to consider right now. And, you know, the market most of this week has been down. You know, it goes up a little bit, but then it comes right back down, which doesn't sound like it's going to be eventful. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not doing real well. Let's put it that way.
We're not looking at long-term gains here in the near future at all, at least on Wall Street anyway.
And do you remember several years ago, everybody said gold was just going to make so much money. And a lot of people put gold and silver in their IRAs.
Yeah.
And that I don't think that's done very well.
Mm-mm. No.
And, almost anything, I think, could make more money than what they've made in that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they're buying those dadgum gold coins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have not been a big fan of gold in a while.
No, I haven't. If they were buying gold ingots, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But buying these gold coins, I think it's got 100,000% risk.
Oh, jeez. That's just...
And, I've told that story several times about the guy that came in. He'd lost $45,000. His wife was threatening to divorce him if he didn't just sell out and get out of that stuff. Because there's a big commission going in on the front side. You've got to pay that in addition to the price of the coin. Then on the back side, if you decide to sell, you've got a big commission again.
It's just way too top-heavy.
It's too top-heavy. I think to ever make you, 100% or 50%. And I've been watching it all year. And I can't see, that people have made a lot of money from a year ago. I've been watching it from a year ago to now.
Really?
And, of course, oil is still at $40.
Yeah.
And I think, goodness, it's not any lower than that, but that's low enough.
I know. It's like 50 is, starts to get that magic number. I remember when it was, what was it, like $100 not too long ago.
That's right.
So it was, things were going great. And, and then when they found that massive reserve, out here in West Texas, it's just like, man, this is going to be, this will last for, a century at least. And so it was like a lot of really, really positive things. You go through neighborhoods and you see, pump jacks, and they were all, everybody was like, making money hand over fist. And so now it's just like, you don't see, the action. You see people, moving away. You see a lot of downturn. And so people are looking at this and they're saying, well, geez, what kind of, futures are there? Oil is way down, which is really big out here in West Texas. And so when oil is down, then you start looking for all their options, gold, you were talking about gold, and it's just like, well, gold is down, and then, okay, well, the Wall Street, and then, well, it's almost like, walking around a gigantic corn maze, and every time you think of another type of investment that you can actually survive and thrive at, it just seems like you run into a dead end. So, for people who have a grim outlook on investing, they're not seeing many options for any kind of growth or anything like that. What do you recommend to people in those kinds of a situation? They need some kind of hope.
Well, I think that everybody should have more than one thing. You need to be diversified in everything you do. I mean, right now, especially with the election coming up, I would be as diversified as I could get right now. I'd be saying, I want to be diversified because we don't know what's going to happen. When everybody finds out who is going to become president, I think the market will take notice that moment. I mean, I don't know what'll happen. The market, it could either go way, way, way down, or it could go way up. I mean, nobody knows. It's going to depend. Our election is the most important thing right now, I think, in our history, because our country could go one way or it could go the other. It's not just, used to, the difference between a Democrat and a Republican wasn't much difference. I mean, they all, at the end of the day, they were civil. They talked to each other. But we're talking about something like we've never seen before.
Yeah. That's true.
We're talking about a whole new way of life that we're not going to like.
Yeah.
So I think it's scary. I think it's really scary because we don't know what will happen. And, of course, in our business, it's not going to go down if the election goes bad. It's not going to go up if the election goes bad. It's going to stay. It's just steady. It's steady. We had another maturity this week, and the people are going to make 30%. Well, I don't think you can beat that.
Yeah.
I just don't. I mean, we're not going to make you rich, but we're going to give you steady income.
Mm-hmm.
When you take out and you buy a life insurance policy, that's just as, you know, it's just steady. You know, you're going to get steady returns forever.
It's as straight up as it can be.
You're not going to have up and down. You're not going to have somebody tell you you're going to make 100% today, but you're going to make, you know, 15, 18, up to 30%.
Mm-hmm.
And you know it going in. So it's not going to matter about the election. The election isn't going to hurt my people at all. All these people that have investments that the market, whatever happens, we're going to be safe because we've got a steady growth income here. So it doesn't matter what happens on the next presidential election, we'll be fine.
You know,
there won't be anybody jumping out of windows that have investments with us.
Yeah, now that was, I remember that, you know, from you know, past market downturns. That literally is a thing. I remember seeing those things. But, you know, it's in the rare occasion that I do go outside and I talk to people.
You do need to be outside more.
It seems like when I do talk to people, you know, they're not necessarily interested anymore. Their focus has changed, you know, over the last, you know, several months especially. But even over the last couple of years, they're not really looking right now at you know, finding the biggest, you know, fastest payoff with the biggest bang as far as you know, ROI or anything like that. What they're looking at is more like stability. It seems like a stable investment seems to be the focus now, and it seems like you get that with a life settlement.
I would rather hunker down, stay with, you know, this type of investment, know what I'm going to make, and know that it doesn't matter if whatever happens in the election, it's not going to affect your investment. You'll be all right. Your money is safe. You know, you're only in life insurance policies. You don't have the market risk of a big swing up and a pancake all the way down.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's going to happen, but I do believe that when we find out what has happened, it's going to affect the market drastically.
You know, it's pretty serious.
I really think so.
When you say things like, you know, they're quietly predicting a market event that's very evasive, we know it doesn't have a good tone. What does your gut tell you? Are we looking at a full-blown crash that they're looking at, or what are they thinking? Any insight?
I don't know. I know they're thinking that it could happen because of what the election results could be. You know, I know if it's rosy and it's positive after the election, things will go one way. If it's not, and we're going to turn into Venezuela, it's going to be a whole new ball game.
Yeah.
You know, our country has always believed in freedom. We're the most freedom-loving people in the world up till now. And
up till now,
you know, I mean, it's always, well, I don't even know. I'm trying to think what family from the 50s I can tell you about. You know, I mean, from the 50s on, it's, you know, it's a two-car family. The husband and wife works. You know, they go to church on Sunday. I mean, it's the American dream is what I'm trying to tell you.
The Cunninghams.
And it's, yeah, and it's always been, you know, small town America. Now it's big town cities, but the concept's the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want freedom. We want to work. We want to make money. We want our children to do better than us. And the American dream should not be dead.
Do you think that when things kind of do settle down and normalize, whenever that is, do you see the new normal on Wall Street changing, or do you think things will go back to the way they were? Like, will people have more of a skittish kind of outlook for investing in stocks, or do you think that you know, it'll just kind of, you know, return and everything will go back to normal?
I don't know. If we're going to be taxed at 80%, it'll make a big difference.
Hmm.
You know, if your taxes are going to go up tremendously, it will affect everything in your life.
So what I'm hearing is there's absolutely no way to pull any kind of historical data and predict anything as far as investments go, as far as financial status and the entire landscape of financing and things like that. It seems like there's no way at all, because there's so much uncertainty and so many different ways and so strange things have happened.
It's a whole new world out there. I mean, we've never been in this place. I don't think anybody's ever been in this situation where they don't know what's going to happen. And people plan to govern completely different.
Yeah.
You know, if people govern one way, we're in great shape, I think. If we're governed by people in a different way, you know, it could be completely different, different than anything you and I have ever seen.
Yeah.
We all just want the American dream. We want to be free. We want to live free. We want to make money. We want to retire early and happy with no restraints on us.
Yeah.
And that's what we're looking for. We want growth. We want to make money. We want to do it safely. We don't want to take the risk of losing, you know, half of our money or 40% or giving 80% to the government.
Yeah.
You know, America wasn't made where the government takes most of the money.
There's too much at stake these days.
You know, I saw in California the other day, they're going to give these people a certain amount to live on for the next 2 years.
Really?
Now, what is that?
What is that?
I mean, that is a government takeover of those people. The government says in California, well, honey, you can't possibly go out here and make a living. We're just going to give you what we think you need. Well, you know, that goes back to other countries, you know, not the American way of doing business.
I remember when I was a kid that the whole outlook was, you know, the thing that they always taught us, you know, work hard, save your money, get a job with a good pension, and you'll be just fine. And that used to be the American dream. And I know that, you know, pensions have kind of gone to the wayside, and then, you know, there's a whole new approach, and then it was 401ks. It seems like now the next phase is going to be work hard, save your money, and find more conservative types of investments and alternative ways to grow your money. And it seems like the life settlement really is if it's not already, it is going to become the next new big thing, the next new normal. Is that a fair outlook?
I think it is, because a life settlement is so different. And they say it's a $60 billion a year business.
$60
billion? You know, mutual fund companies are doing it. There's the new life settlement companies all over the place. There's three new ones in Texas. One of them's in Austin. And people are starting life settlement companies because they see how it can help both sides of the fence. It helps the investor. It helps the people that start the companies. Just like during all this virus deals, all these companies were going out of business, but people in our business were not going out of business, because the life settlement business is completely different. You know, you don't have the risk of up and day and up and down every day. You know, this only thing, your only risk is, when are they going to pass away? That's your biggest risk. It's not whether you're going to get your money. It's whether, you know, if you get it on time or if it's going to be late. That's your biggest risk in this whole thing.
It's really a matter of waiting. It's not a matter of if. It's just
a matter
when.
Of waiting. It's not the risk. You don't have the market risk, okay? It doesn't matter what happens in this election. As our investors, they're safe. If they wake up and things have gone to heck and to pot after the election, they're safe. Their money is safe.
Well,
it wasn't in the market, so they don't have to worry.
You know, and when you change your main question with an investment goes from if to when, it's a completely different shift in outlook. It's a completely different shift in mindset and results, really. I mean, you see it historically. You've got the data to show that it does survive coronavirus. A life settlement survives market crashes. A life settlement really survives just about anything that you can think of that could possibly affect any other type of investment.
Well, and what we've noticed in the last 2 months, we've had so much trouble buying policies. And competition is fierce right now. I mean fierce. We have bid this in the last 3 weeks. We've bid over 21 policies. We still don't know which one of those we're going to get.
Really?
And so our business is booming. Competition is really tough right now. We have to bid them hard. And they'll come back and say, can you give another $5,000 or can you pay another $10,000 for that policy? Because everybody wants policies. All these life settlement companies are short on policies. They need them for their clients. So, you know, they're pressing, really pressing on their prices.
All right. We're in pretty heavy times, and these are very unique, different times. People are under a lot of pressure and stress to not have the bottom fall out and lose everything they've worked for their entire life. But it does sound like there is some light at the end of the tunnel, especially if they look into life settlements. So let's take a break for just a moment, get into trivia, something a little bit lighter. Something a little bit more fun, and then we'll talk about some of the good positives involved in a life settlement before we rack things up. So this is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
So what is our trivia topic this morning? Hopefully something fun.
It is. It's called Dixondale Farms.
Really?
It is in Carrizo Springs, Texas. This is a company that's over 100 years old.
Nice.
They started in the 1900s.
Really?
They sell onion plants.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't think you were going there.
Unusual deal. Okay, this girl's great-grandfather was John Mabson McClendon. He moved down there to Dimmitt County from a small town in Texas called Pancake, Texas.
Ooh.
He started a little farm north of town called Dixondale.
Okay.
Now, everybody in this family still lives at Dixondale Farms. John's son, Earl, he was 15 at the time. He began farming with his father, and they were growing onion transplants and sending them by train to farmers throughout the United States. Now, he married a lady named Lulabelle, and they came from an old, established family in South Texas. They say their roots run deep, and they farmed through the Depression, World War II, and then they eventually offered the farming business to her father, the son-in-law. He got out of the Army. He graduated from the University of Texas in 1948. He was an engineer by trade.
Really?
Yeah, and he farmed and ranched until his death in 1983.
Oh, geez.
But what is so amazing, then her father, Wallace Martin, continued producing crops such as cabbage and cauliflower. Then her husband, in 1982, he got out of the Army. And he had a degree in engineering. They saw a need to distribute to home gardeners. So in 1990, UPS was started delivery service to Carrizo Springs. And they would send out little small quantities of their onions. Today, they ship 800 million onion plants.
No.
Yes.
Wow.
800 million onions to gardeners, garden centers around the country.
800 million.
800 million from Carrizo Springs, Texas.
That is ridiculous. I mean, I could have pictured all kinds of numbers. 800 million would never come to mind at all.
Wow. And two generations of Dixondale farmers. And as I said, her husband and her father were both engineers by education. And she said, and they were farmers by the grace of God. Can you believe this?
I can't, no. I mean, I do, but I don't.
And I've seen pictures of their farms. It is just as plain. The onion plants are growing. I mean, it's just the most amazing thing. They came there in early 1900s. These people are so smart back then. I just can't imagine.
I know it.
And they started farming, started sending out these onion plants for people. And now they can tell you what temperature they need to be at to plant. They can tell you which part of the country they grow the best, what the weather needs to be like. They know everything. And they've never moved from that little section of Carrizo Springs called Dixondale Farms.
So this is not just something.
And the whole family still lives out there.
They didn't just kind of fall on this by accident. They've actually studied it, learned it, you know, optimized the process. You know, they know exactly the right conditions. They know, I mean, that's really investing into, you know, your own future and, you know, really learning your product and things like that.
I mean, can you imagine? The grandfather started in 1900s, and here we are in 2020, and they're sending out 800 million plants.
That's just, it's crazy. I can't even fathom that kind of growth. But you don't get there by accident.
No, and of course, they learned all this. And these guys were engineers, and they had to learn farming because they were engineers. They didn't know farming. And the father-in-law said, you know, you come and take over the business from me. And he taught him everything he knew, and it just went on from there. And if UPS had not started coming there, they wouldn't have been this famous.
Yeah.
But when they saw that they could ship UPS all over the country, you know, that's when they started shipping all over the United States to farmers, home gardeners, gardener centers, you know, and it's just, I can't imagine. And they still live right there, Carrizo Springs, Texas, and has this wonderful business that's over 100 years old.
That's great also that they didn't sell out or try to go, you know, big and fancy. They just kept with what works. That's important.
It is. And who would think that an onion plant would make you this kind of money?
Of all the things, like if I had sat down 10 minutes ago and you had said, okay, put together a list of some really profitable ventures and lines of business that you might want to start, that would not be one
of
them.
You wouldn't have ever thought of onion plants, would you?
No, never. Never.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, what does it probably does not cost hardly anything to raise an onion and to pull these up and ship them out. Can you imagine?
You know,
profit. I'm thinking about what they are making down there.
Got to be making money hand over fist.
Oh, yeah. 800 million plants?
That's just crazy. Your overhead's got to be so low.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah. Wow.
And they still live in the same community. All the family lives right there in the same little community.
How do you find this stuff? it's like all these amazing inspirational stories that nobody would ever think of. Where do you go to get these things?
You got to know all Texans, all Texas. Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
But I love the stories of people that have come here early 1900s or whenever. They made a success. They didn't fail. They didn't give up. And, I mean, it was hard in the 1900s.
Oh, yeah.
Starting an onion plant company. You know, sending out plants to your neighbors and farmers and all this. And then going big.
Yeah. It's like you've got a great product, and that's what they had here. They had, you know, this really solid product that people were interested in their local area, but it took one small thing of UPS coming to town, and then all of a sudden, that just is like literally, it sounds like overnight, their whole world changed, and now all of a sudden, you know, they went nationwide, and they were able to get outside and break that local mold and serve people all over there. I mean, 800 million, that's... You don't do that.
800 million. And when it says corporate office, it's Carrizo Springs.
Oh, wow.
I love that. You know, it's not some big high rise in Dallas or Houston. It's right there in Carrizo Springs.
That's amazing.
And this is the second story we've done on Carrizo Springs. Apparently the ground there is great for growing.
Well, see, I would love to go now and try something, but all the land has probably been bought up by now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, imagine since it grows anything. I mean, apparently the ground is just right for growing.
Wow. It sounds ideal. there's so much different climates, so many different climates in Texas for just about anything. It's really fascinating. I know we've talked about this before, but you know, between the cotton, the wine, and now the the onion plants, it's just like there's literally just about everything in one state, depending on the various climates you're into. It sounds like it's perfect for just about anything.
And, you know, Texas grows more things, I believe, than any place in the United States. We have more vegetables, more fruits, like more wine, cattle. It's just anything is possible in the state of Texas.
I know, right? And who knew?
Who would have thought that you could start with nothing and you know, make a business that's going to survive forever?
Yeah, yeah. And to when you throw out 800 million plants, that's
I mean, you've got to work it. I mean, yeah. To get 800 million plants out, and they send them all over the United States.
Amazing, amazing.
Yeah,
this is Dixondale Farms.
Dixondale Farms, 1913.
Wow.
1913, folks.
107 years ago. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, can you imagine?
Can you visit, or is it we can't go?
I don't know. I haven't asked them, but I'd sure like to.
That would
be fascinating. I'd like to visit it and see what it's like.
Yeah. It's great that they stayed true to their roots too. That's always a big plus.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't know how old they are now. I was just wondering about that.
Yeah.
Because her husband got out of the Army and he came to them in 1983.
Mm. Wow.
Fresh out of college, went to the Army then, and that's what's amazing. Her husband and her father both, went to university. I mean, they took time out and not only go to war, but then they went to university and then got involved in farming of all things, and they were engineers.
Yeah.
They weren't farmers.
Yeah, they learned what they had to learn to get done what they had to get done, and this is another case it was worth it.
And I think, as it might be, what made them so successful, you know, is their approach to farming, you know, the way they approached it.
Yeah, yeah,
and how to make it successful.
They have a totally different spin on it, and it worked, and it is thriving bigger now than ever.
It is so big, I cannot imagine. I'd love to see a picture of the entire operation.
I know, right?
We would
probably be shocked.
We would probably be completely shocked.
Wow, that's inspirational right there. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
I'm still stuck on 800 million plants. I hate to be the guy that counted those.
Oh, yeah. 800 million. Well, they keep good records.
Clearly.
Because they knew how much they were selling. 800 million. UPS has got to have trucks running to their place at all times.
You would think they'd have like a whole dedicated fleet to handle that kind of volume.
Yeah. So they just put it all on UPS and ship it out.
Wow. And that was, it's fascinating that was the one key that really, busted the door down and opened up the possibilities to a whole other world other than just their local community. That's cool.
Yeah, can you imagine? They started out just selling to farmers,
yeah,
their friends, their neighbors, and putting it on a train.
Mm-hmm.
They were just putting them on the train. Wherever the train went, you know, they would ship there.
Wow.
It's just amazing to me.
That is fascinating.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the great things to do with life settlements. So it is kind of a strange, stressful, we'll call it stressful, time right now as far as, you know, really the uncertainty.
The only stress in our business right now is getting enough policies for everybody.
Exactly.
And that's what we're working on now, getting all these policies in, getting their money working again. And we've got great policies. We have bid so many great policies. If we just get half of them, we'll be in great shape. So, you know, what I love about the business is every time we have maturity, somebody makes money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this week, the Rinaldi policy matured. Well, it was a 30% profit. The man had four policies. Two of them were small, two of them were a little bit bigger. But there's a lot of people in them, so a lot of people are going to get paid. Another policy this week got to the bank. And right now we've got all kinds of maturities that are coming to the bank. People are getting paid. So that's great. You know, they've invested their money, and then they reap the rewards of it. And I love that.
Exactly.
And every time anybody gets paid, you know, they're ready to reinvest and to go again and to make more money. And you know, they're averaging 24%.
That's a big deal, you know?
I think it is. If you can make 24% and do it conservatively without any risk, I think it's worth everything, because you could say, oh, I could make all this money in the stock market, but the risk is there. You've got 1,000% risk versus this.
Yeah.
So I think this is the best way to go for right now, because it doesn't matter what happens on the election. If you've got life settlements, it'll just go smooth.
Exactly. Exactly. And the fact that you only invest and bid on stage four cancer, we know the numbers. We know the data. We know that you know, they have fairly fast maturities, which means that people get paid faster, which means that they reinvest quicker, which means they're in more policies. And that's really how the whole thing is designed to make people money. It's growth over time. It's not necessarily something that's going to happen overnight, but it is something that is stable, and it is something that's conservative. Am I painting the right picture here?
I think so. It is conservative. You know, it takes time. You don't get your money overnight. Sometimes it's 2 years. It may be 3 years. It may be 6 months. Mm-hmm. But you know the certainty of getting your principal back, of getting your profit. And there's not any fees on a day-to-day basis. You know, when you're in the market, you've got to pay every time you make a trade. They charge you for that. And then if you're a high net worth, it's like 1 or 1.25% of your total net worth in there. So you have a lot of fees that you don't have with us. You know, your only fees is $250 a year per account, and that's from Nevada Trust.
That's crazy.
And the other thing is, they handle everything. They handle your money from start to finish, and I love that.
And you know,
they represent us. They represent the client.
Even when we talk about, you know, we talk about the risks of Wall Street, and it's devastating sometimes. When we talk about the risks in a life settlement, it's almost like, oh man, here comes the risk, here comes the other shoe. But it's actually, when we go over the three main risks, it's almost like this is another good thing. I mean, what's the biggest risk? You look at this one as
your biggest risk is always if it matures on time or not, and some of them don't. You know, if you had six policies, there's probably going to be two or three that'll be late. The others are going to be either early or on time. But even then, if you're in an IRA, you weren't going to use that money for several years anyway, so it's always safe. If it goes over, you're still going to get paid. You'll still always get your principal. You'll still always get your interest, okay? And we can't say that if you're in the stock market. I can't tell you there's any assurance you'll always get your money back and your profit. And unless you sell it, you're not getting your profit on your stock. And only then, if you're in the stock market, do you know which way it's going to go. Did I make a profit? Did I lose? Or did I break even?
Mm-hmm.
And with us, you're always going to get more than you put in.
Yeah.
So I think that's a very positive note.
It's a big deal.
And we have people coming to us every month, saying, you know, I've been in the stock market all these years. I'm fixing to retire. I don't want the risk. I want it to be even. And so that's why they come to us and they put it in a life insurance policy.
Nice and steady and solid. What's the second
biggest
risk?
Steady and slow and positive.
Second biggest risk?
The second biggest risk is it's not liquid, folks. Everybody knows that.
Mm-hmm.
It cannot be liquid and be invested at the same time. So during the time it's invested, it's not liquid till we take it out, okay?
All right. And then finally the third one.
The third risk is if a life insurance company ever went under. We've never had one go under in Texas. Nationally, we haven't had one go under in years, because the premium income is so great, somebody's always ready to buy it.
And that's important. You know, it's like
it is
having,
important.
Having that kind of solid foundation is bigger now probably than it's really ever been in our lifetime anyway.
And it's our business is positive every day. You don't have an unpositive result when you do a life settlement. That's what I love. It's a positive idea. It's positive. You're not going to have doom and gloom.
Yeah. And now we all need a little non-doom and gloom.
We need some non-doom and gloom right now. We need to be positive. Things are going to work out. Everything's going to be all right.
And so when people call and do their Zoom calls with you to talk about investing, don't you usually, you tell our joke of the day, don't you? Just kind of get things going in the right way.
You think I should always tell them the joke of the day? Oh, my gosh. We'll have to call a four-year-old for that.
All right, so a lot of really great things with the investment. Lots of availability coming up. I know you've got a bunch of policies in the pipeline. So for people to get started, what do they need to do? What's the best way to get moving?
The best way to go is to talk to me, make a decision if this is what you want to do. Put some money in and try us. If you like it, you can put more money in. I always tell them that. But a lot of people come, you know, with $250,000, $300,000, then there's some that come with that $100,000, which is the minimum, is $100,000. Remember, you must be accredited. You must make $200,000 a year, or you must be worth $1 million without your home. And that is a government thing. It's not my idea. I never do mention that, but that's not my idea.
It is not your fault. It's not your responsibility. It's just the
no.
way it is.
That's the way it is. The government has their own ideas about things.
All right. For people to make an appointment one last time, what's your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
You've been listening to Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Fay Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.